Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Talk Junkies, where tonight's going to be a very interesting night, as it is each and every single week here at Talk Junkies. I'm just so excited because we have someone in the house. Jay West is back for a special guest podcast. Jesse, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Good to be back for 1 week.
That is, man.
You won't see me again for another year. Yeah. I like this. I like coming in like once every year. You know,
there have been multiple people who have asked me where you and Johnny went. So I'm sure they'll be excited to hear you back on the mic and have your words of wisdom.
And Johnny's doing good too. Just hung out with him tonight. Watched the pointless Chiefs game, you know, that we watched tonight together.
Yeah, terrible.
He's doing good.
Rock on.
Everybody's good, man.
Well, if y'all are interested in the last podcast that I did, it was 2 weeks ago with Dan Cox. Dan is a hardcore on the Constitution, a constitutionalist. We got deep into the importance of the power of the people. And just the power that we have as people when it comes to government, and that's on the local level, on a national level. And we had a really good podcast, or I did, with Dan. So Dan, I always appreciate you, man, for coming on. Sorry for the late upload on YouTube. Just finally got that up yesterday. If you're interested in any Constitution talk, check it out. But this week, I'm very pleased to have a gentleman on that I've known for a very long time. Started my career in restaurants, and I was very blessed to meet his stepfather, who's been a big part of my life. Will is someone that I look up to, man, and he's someone that I've reached out to when I have problems in my life, and he's just always been someone who's been there for me. So you guys are related, and that's how I met you, through the store that we work at, and we've gotten to know each other through the years a little bit, but not too crazily. It's the first time you've been to my house, but... you seem to have a very good, not necessarily influence, but you have powerful words that people like to listen to. And that's kind of what brought me on to you, man, over the years, just following you on social media and just seeing what your message is. And I think it was a couple weeks ago, I was like, damn, I need to get this guy on my podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I reached out to you, man, and then here we are. But Baron, Saint, yeah. Thanks for joining Talk Junkies, man. How you doing?
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me, man. Dude, I'm doing great. Doing great. Just got engaged December 31st in the morning. So met the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. So that's exciting. And so far this New Year's been good so far, man.
It's a good way to start the new year off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But tonight, I think that's kind of, I mean, that'll go hand in hand. Just kind of what you just described, what you're going through with your girl who's going to be your future wife. We're going to be hitting on what it is to be a man. Yeah. What that means, leadership, what it is to be a man. And I know we talked as well briefly, maybe talking about, what was the second one? Understanding women? Was that the second part?
Yeah, pretty much. When it comes to what type of man you are, how to approach the type of woman based on the type of man that you are. One book that I highly recommend everybody reading is called...
Do you know the author's name?
Oh, dude, I'm gonna have to look it up. I read this book, man, and it was nothing about what I thought it would be about. And as I started reading it, The Way of the Superior Man. There it is, The Way of the Superior Man. I love reading books on, you know, self reflecting and bettering yourself, man. And so I saw a lot of reviews on this book. Never heard of it, nothing. And so people were talking about it. It's a great book. So I started reading it, and it was actually about women and understanding why women are the way that they are and how to control situations and scenarios based on what type of man you are, right? Am I making sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, dude. Sure. So, you know, it's like, why does your woman get mad at you if she says she's not hungry? You're like, hey, I'm about to go get some food. Do you want anything? And she's like, no, babe, I'm fine. And then you come back with no food and she's mad at you, right? And like, we're like, what the hell? You said you weren't hungry. Well, basically what, the author talks about is that was, whether consciously or subconsciously, that was your woman testing your leadership skills. And I'm like, wow, I had a lot of like brain blowing, busting moments throughout this book. Like, okay. Damn, that makes sense.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. So yeah.
We'll hit that up on the back half. But absolutely. I think we need to lead into what it is to be a man and what leadership is. And I mean, I'm 34, how old are you?
I'm 32.
32, and you're 30. You're about to be 32, aren't you?
Or 33.
33.
I'll be 33 in just like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Not January 23rd.
Oh, okay.
So it's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. But within that, what you were talking about specifically as far as like a woman ask you, or you ask a woman, hey, I'm going to go get Burger King. You know, are you hungry? Do you want anything? There can be some toxicness within that too. If she just expects you to know mm-hmm. what she wants, which I'm not just saying that that's, man, it's not just cookie cutter for everything too, but there's a lot of variables that go within that too.
Right.
But just saying with that, but you have to be wary of also warning signs of some stuff.
Yeah.
Some if you're like, hey, do you want anything to eat? And she goes, no. And then just like, oh, well, you should have just gotten me some stuff too, which I don't know your wisdom behind that. But a lot of that is just like, why don't you just go on ahead and tell me
right,
what yeah. you want to begin with?
Right.
And yeah. maybe that's a character flaw within herself that, you know, you could just say what you want, you know, to begin with too. Kind mm-hmm. of kind of thing. Not yeah. not to just delve into that specifically.
But like he said it's a test of your leadership skills.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, it just depends on the woman too, man. I mean, discernment is a word that everyone needs to start adding into their vocabulary. Discernment, man. Having, you know, right judgment. Having good judgment in people. And so I could tell with my now fiance, at the early stages, when you're first getting to know someone, you, again, whether consciously or subconsciously, test them or we'll get tested. So there's times where I would get like kind of annoyed, but I was like, okay, I feel like this is a test, you know? And so I handled it more appropriately now since reading that book and in my older age than I would have in my early 20s.
Oh, for sure.
You know? So yeah.
Yeah. Cause I feel like when you're in your younger years, like you're just, and in America, it's just very weird. Cause once you're 18, you're looked upon as an adult. And that's just not the case.
No.
It's just not.
Not really.
I mean, yeah, you can go join the military, and in some states you can gamble. I mean, obviously every 18-year-old drinks, all those types of things.
In your opinion, Paul, just give a general age. When is a man actually a man? Just a general, you're not looking at a specific male, but just in general, when is a man typically become a man?
So this is, you know, after having Dan on 2 weeks ago, it's something that we talked about quite a bit, and I don't think you can really put an age number on.
But if you had to.
I mean,
just if you had to, shits I mean, and gigs.
I'd probably say a lot of guys enter manhood around in their early 30s.
I was going to say 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, I really started to see maturity probably in my late 20s when I started looking at things differently.
Because you got to go through shit.
Yeah.
You have to go through shit to know, like, you can read and everything. It's way different than actually going through shit.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it takes time to go through shit. Probably 30 is right around that age whenever you've dealt with enough to now start having wisdom and good viewpoints on things, on how things actually should be. So probably right around there.
Yeah. But Beryl,
unless you're coddled or,
why do you think it took you till your late 20s to kind of start stepping into manhood? Why don't you think it happens earlier for people in America? Because you've traveled into other countries, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Ireland, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Mexico quite a few times. Germany. Yeah, I've been a few places. I would say, man, a lot, just the culture, bro. Honestly, the culture and, just having to figure things out on your own, man. I think that's something that, I'm going to do differently than what my parents did is also what the wealth do. Like, family tend to, stay together longer, man. Like, if I wouldn't have had to go through the dumb stuff and be misled in my late teens and early 20s, just kind of following the crowd, you know, drinking, going out, clubbing, dude, I would have saved being taught about credit, saving money in those earlier years, dude, my life would be completely different right now instead of just being, oh, you're 18, get out of the house. Like, you know, that's the bad stigma with Americans. That's different than the world. You know what I'm saying?
Too coddled. Yeah. So like too coddled of a lifestyle. We're like, oh no, you're okay. Take your time. They never actually throw you out and be like, no, figure it the fuck out. It's time for you to get out there and figure it out.
Almost the opposite. The opposite. So there, what I would say is, okay, at an earlier age, don't coddle, right? So people try to protect their kids too much at an earlier age. Like, that's what made me so. I was a very rambunctious kid. So I was thrown into, like I said, you know, or martial arts. I start joined the military at an early age, so on and so forth. So I got to get some life experience at an earlier age that I got taught leadership, but still at 18 when I was pushed out of the house without actually having life. How would you say? Like life skills?
Sure.
You know, like again,
like you're talking about like how to change oil and shit, how to change a tire like, level
like,
shit.
Like taxes, how to do your taxes, how important credit is, investing. You know what I'm saying? Like none of that was taught.
American parents in general don't teach their kids that stuff. As to where you probably should teach them finance.
Absolutely.
General finance, and it's almost like on a system level, they don't want you to know general finance and how to manage your money. If you're just talking money management, no, because then if everybody was doing it, then everybody would be kind of screwed over. You almost need people to do poor with their finances, you know, to get the loans, make bad loan decisions, all this to be able to have all these other people to have money,
yeah,
kind of thing. But if you teach them the secret behind it, then, you know, and how to manage your money well and not make bad financial decisions, you can be ahead in life.
So right, I'm just, right. So, but what you're saying though, like
just financially, that's just from a financial aspect.
Yeah. But, and we've hit that quite a bit, like at an early age, like they that's something that they don't want us to know. I mean, there are classes in school that you learn about how to write a check and a little bit about finance. I haven't been to public education.
No, see, that was the problem, is they taught us how to write checks.
But I mean,
when checkbooks weren't a fucking thing.
They were a thing when we were still in high school.
That's not money management is how to write a check. I always, looking back, I hated that shit. Why were you teaching me specifically how to write out a check when I've never written a check in my life? Everything's been digital. Everything's a card now. Yeah. Everything's done online anyway. That's not actually how you manage your money. How you manage your money is how much you're bringing in and the equation behind it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And where your money's being put. That's not in how to be wealthy in the future.
Right. Learning that's about
investment. Money. That's not money management.
No, for sure.
That's their bullshit way to get around of, how to be a part of the baseline system. Mm. You know, like it's like teaching me how to write like stone and chisel like you're in like the early 2000s. Hey, take a stone and chisel and make your money work when everything was digital. But they didn't want people like to know that information, because once you know that, then you get ahead of the game. And too many people can't be ahead of the game because there's only so much room.
I disagree.
That might be a conspiracy theory on my end, but you need stupid people making stupid financial decisions and taking out stupid loans.
But hear me out.
So other people fucking make money. But that's a financial.
And those people will always exist. Those people are. Yeah. Those people that you're describing will always exist. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. But there have been some people who have woken up to the fact that, hey, I can invest my money on an app on my phone, like digitally transfer money, and then I can start making money that way. But what I'm curious about, sorry, Jesse, you've been to other countries. So what you're saying, we have a bad stigma about us when it comes to finance, and especially for young males.
Family. Much finance, but family, like the camaraderie. Man, I went to Culiacan, which is in Sinaloa, Mexico, which is where the Sinaloan cartel was started. But yeah, man, dude, it was crazy. When I arrived there, man, all the neighbors were out on the block. I went with my ex, by the way. So this is where her family was from. So this was the first time that I really got to experience like true camaraderie in a community, man. And I mean, it will never leave my brain, man. Just showing up, man, they had, you know, the trumpet players, everyone was out welcoming all, you know, the families from all over the U.S. and all over the world coming to Sinaloa and spending a week there. And it's like, dude, all the cousins and the aunts, like they all hung out. The camaraderie is just on a completely different level, dude. The love, man, the fun, the friendship, just so natural, man. Just yeah.
Is it a harder struggle out there? Do you think that's kind of what created that camaraderie out there?
Yeah, I would definitely it's not as plush here as it is here in America, but at the same time, like you get to be so much more genuine out there, man. So where they exchange the plushness that we have here in America, they actually like the genuine love, fun, laughter that is just, again, it's just so much more pure, I would say.
It's weird to think of those dualities, because those happen in society to where it's almost like people work really hard in a society to create a really safe environment, but then they become like almost lackluster within their own camaraderie.
Right.
Because things are easy.
Yeah.
And what people really bond over is struggle and adversity. That's what really creates friendships and bonding.
That's right, bro.
And it's this weird shit that happens, even though that's what we strive for.
Yeah.
Like, we really strive for it, man. I want my family to have the safest environment, all of this. But then at the end of the day, they're almost not as close as they would have been if they would have had to struggle together.
Right. Yeah. 100%.
Nothing
agree.
Brings people together like struggle. So it's this weird balance you see happen in the universe, kind of.
Yeah.
Like there, you can't have one without the other, kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, dude. And that's what I tell my guys. So I own a construction company, and I've got some really great guys that work for me, man. I don't even really call them my employees. I call them my brothers, man. And, you know, I really set up a goal for all of us to, that's attainable for all of us. You know, and I talk to them a lot, and, you know, tell them about my military days, man. And that camaraderie that you have in the military is like none that you've ever, or most people will ever experience, man. It's just a whole nother level of love, trust, you know, knowing that I've got to give my all because someone else is giving their all and is also counting on me to give my all. So you actually get pushed further than you ever would have thought that you could be pushed, and overcoming those adversities, man, like you were saying, it just elevates you mentally.
So does it come down to, I guess, I'm trying to make sense of this. So whenever you, what was the place you went to in Mexico?
Culiacan.
Culiacan. So whenever you're there for a week, right?
Right.
And you're kind of observing the culture, seeing how the families interact, just how all the moving parts work within that culture.
Right.
And I didn't know if you saw it at the time, but did you see almost maybe that was because of the leadership that was there within that community? Like, was that obvious that there were certain people around where you guys were at where you could kind of tell that there was some type of leadership creating this environment? Were you just there having fun?
So I would say that, you know what, everyone played their role. I know, like, that's like a really bad stigma that's going on right now here in America, man. But everyone really played their roles. Like, the aunts, dude, the aunts were in the kitchen cooking, talking, having a great time. The male cousins and uncles and everything, they were out, you know, shooting the shit, talking about business. You know, a few of her cousins were doctors and lawyers. And so when everyone was playing their role and then they came together, it just worked like a puzzle piece, dude. It really did. Like, seeing that firsthand is different. It's just like, it don't matter how many war movies you see, if you've never, being in war is completely different, right? So actually seeing, you know, the men being men and the women being women and then playing, you know, or doing their roles is, dude, it really works. And not only does it really work, but things are much more beautiful, you know, because again, women, they're feminine, sweet, loving, you know, oh, here, have more, eat mine. I'm like, I've already had three plates. Like, I'm probably gained 10 pounds in that week I was there, man. It was crazy. But dude, just, yeah. And again, the men just being leaders and fun and yeah, just, it worked really well, man.
So you saw a lot of leadership over in that country on the male side.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you come back to the States where you don't necessarily see very much of it.
No. Yeah. No,
because we don't know what it is to be a man until we get later into our 30s, because we're so behind, because culturally that's the stigma of America.
Right, right. Yeah, dude. A lot of those guys over there, man, they work with their hands. Like, a lot of them are fishermen, a lot of them are farmers. You know, a lot of them are, you know, mechanics, or they're shining boots, or whatever the case may be. They were really had to go out there and get it, and their family really relied on them. So, you know, the woman respected her man, or respected their men out there for just going out and getting it, man. And so where I think, you know, where the whole, like, woman empowerment thing here, I think it's, to a certain degree, is a beautiful thing. However, it's starting to get misconstrued, how would you say?
Man, you must get a lot of backlash. I'm not on Facebook, dude. Bro. I'm not on Facebook. I purposely avoid that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, man, the feminists must hate your what the fuck you say, which I'm fine with, because the third wave feminism shit, yeah, I'm not on board with. Like, I've already said it on the podcast. You can go back and pull up reels of me talking 2 years ago with the same standpoint. Yeah. But man, the feminists must hate what you're saying.
You know what?
They must be rampant on Facebook. I'm almost curious about the amount of backlash,
dude,
that you get.
A little bit. A little bit.
Because the second you say, oh, women can't do, or maybe should fall in line with this, mm-hmm, then you get so much like, oh, she can do whatever she wants. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which you can. You can. Sure.
But the consequences. I talk about consequences. And that's really what it boils down to. First and foremost, like yes, I've had some backlash. But if you go throughout my social medias, you'll always see I make it a point to lead by example. I make it a point to show people like, yo, this is my feminine, sweet, loving woman. And yes, she's submissive to me in certain aspects, but I'm also submissive to her in certain aspects. So when I throw that submissive word out there, that can kind of get backlash. But I make sure to let them know that I am a submissive man in certain areas when it comes to my woman in the aspects of, baby, you need help.
Yeah,
you know, so and on and so forth. So I'm really trying to get that whole like
it's submissive. It's like what it actually is. And I hate the fact we got to dance around this within our own society. But what it realistically is that males play a role and females play a role, and it's like a great puzzle piece that fits. And I'm not religious, by the way, but it fits in all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. The female and the male, if you get it done correctly, fits perfectly like a puzzle piece. You get a really good male and a really good female doing their jobs correctly in the household, communally, and a community aspect fits perfectly.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
It fucking works.
And like,
and it's worked time after time, but we have plenty of evidence to show that.
For thousands of years.
And and I don't want to all of a sudden, you know, you might hear all kinds of backlash about a bunch of other things, which I would address correctly. But man, it works. Guess what? It works.
Yeah.
Guess what? Healthy male female relationships where the male is playing this role and the female is playing this role, they get together and they do this. Mm-hmm. They have children. Yeah. Those children are happy, and then you have a happy society. And then it's this rippling effect that happens after that.
But the most important part about all of what you're saying though is the part where you talk about that there's submissiveness. I don't even know if that's a word, but you. It's on both sides.
Right.
And I think where a lot of people lose what you're saying and the idea behind that, and Jordan Peterson's the same way. Like, he comes out and he talks, you know, greatly about, like, how many women do you see in the oil fields? How many women do you see at iron factories? How many, you know, like, there's a place for men to do what it is that they do. But when you're submissive as a man to your woman, that's where I think when you talk, Jesse, how you're talking, people lose that in translation. Like, we are still submissive to our wives. You know what I'm saying? I know I am. I know you 100%. Are.
You know, 100%. Whenever it comes down to the issue.
Yeah. And there are
if it's the right issue, you go, yes, this is your scope. This is your scope. That is what you are meant to handle.
Yeah.
And I need to back off here.
Yeah.
And I know.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah.
And,
the kitchen's hers, dude. Like, she lets me know. Hey. And she's proud to claim that kitchen, man. But again, where I make sure that I do my role. You know, again, I own a construction company. I was a martial artist. So she knows that she's protected. She knows that I provide things for her. And she actually, from time and time again, gets to see the benefits of being the fact that she can stay in her feminine era, as they say. And it's a beautiful thing.
How old is she?
And it is.
She's 30, July 17th.
Cool.
Yeah.
This is the thing. On the backs of men is all civilization created. You get so much backlash for saying this. I don't give a shit. I'm only on the podcast fucking once a year. I can get all the backlash. I don't have a Facebook. You can't even get in contact with me, so I'm going to say this. On the backs of men, all civilization, current civilization, has been created. So all of your rights and everything have been on the blood loss of my grandfathers, kind of thing. That's been the structure of this. So that's where the peace is, kind of thing. Like, I hate the idea of, man, I don't even know if we're going down this road or not. But you got a lot of feminists that come in and say that, man, we need more feminists or more women doing these roles. And I'm like, it's only been, if guys didn't exist, there'd be another country of men that would come in and just take over your shit. Can you directly defend what we have here in America? It's been on men the whole time. So that's why you have that piece of, I'm probably doing a terrible fucking job of saying this, but it's been on men the whole time. We have maintained all the rights of everyone in the country kind of thing. And if you were to just, and I hate to say it, but it's a biological fucking thing. Mm-hmm. Women can't go and defend shit the same way that men do. Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
Right.
It's.
Yeah. No doubt, bro. Absolutely. I think that's one of the key points that I really wanted to touch down with today was, healthy, masculinity versus toxic masculinity, because that's one of the.
And do you think that's toxic, what I said, just out of curiosity? Was anything that you feel as though I said was toxic masculinity?
No,
or
is
that
just
the role that we play?
Yeah, no, you
because that's the role that we play. Is it not the role that we play? Because the first person that kicks in my door, it's not going to be my wife that dies. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be me that's defending the household.
Yeah.
And it's expected of me. And you know what? I'm proud for that role too. Mm-hmm. I know my role. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just hate that society kind of like, oh, you can't
go ahead.
You can't be, a woman could also protect America too. Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give you guys an example. This is a beautiful, perfect example, man. So when me and my woman, we first got together about a year and a half ago, about four, five, 6 months in, again, I was a firearms instructor in the military. So that's one of the things I did. I was really trying to push her to learn how to shoot a gun, man. And she's like, I hate guns. I'm scared of them. I don't want to use them. Okay. She was like, give me time. So again, I had to tell her, hey, this is my role as a man. Like, I need to make sure that you can protect yourself when I'm not around. So this is a part of my manhood and a part of my leadership is, to make sure that you're taken care of. And so she respected. She's like, okay, well, just give me time. Time goes on. I hit it again. Still, she wants more time. Time goes on. All right, so about a month and a half ago, she was at home alone while I was at the gym, and the car, her car, sitting right in front of the house, and it's a Kia. So if you guys don't know, Kias and Hyundais.
Kia Soul? Yeah. You're talking about the Kia Souls?
No, all the Kias.
Just in general. I heard about the Chicago was real bad.
You can start the car using USB.
Right, yeah, exactly. So someone busted the window out while she was sitting at home. She could hear it, and she's looking out. She calls me freaking out, crying like, I'm watching them try and steal my car, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so I end up coming home, and I'm kind of on her butt a little bit, and I'm like, this is why I need you to trust me. See, this is exact. I'm 10 for 10 when I'm telling you these things. So needless to say, after that, 2 days later, we were in the fire, at the firing range, so it's like, that's a point that what I was trying to touch with what you were saying, that leadership goes into uncomfortable realms. And if you're truly a leader, then you'll understand that you have to embrace adversity, that you have to overcome, stigmas, so on and so forth. And you even have to deal with crap that goes against what your wife or your woman wants. But again, you have to be able to explain things to her, show her,
Is it you seeing the bigger picture?
Yeah,
because absolutely. You see the fucking bigger picture of the whole thing.
Yeah,
and you know all the outcomes that could possibly happen. Right. I would much rather have you prepared and ready to go. I know this is uncomfortable for you. You're not comfortable with a gun.
Right, right.
Get that. Guess what? Maybe the time will come when you need to be able to actually use this, and you will better our family for knowing how to use
this. Right, right. What's that
there
saying?
There was nothing.
That's saying, I'd rather have it than not. I'd rather have it not need it than need it not have it.
It's right? Do you want to be a gardener in warfare, or do you want to be a warrior gardening?
Right.
Like you want to have access to know what to do whenever the time comes to it, kind of thing. And it's uncomfortable. No, nobody wants to deal with the grueling shit to know what to do whenever it comes time to do it,
Right.
But it's better whenever actually shit pops off, and then now you know what to do.
Right. Right.
No, my wife was the same way. She wasn't really too into wanting to know how to shoot firearms. But whenever the opportunity presented itself, she was all for it. And we went out to my buddy's house down in down south Kansas City, and I went to his property, and we shot multiple guns, 10 different guns, and it was cool, and it was fun to watch her do that,
Yeah, right.
It almost turned me on a little bit, honestly. Not gonna lie, it was cool to see my wife shoot an AR-15. I'm like, hell yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
And she still didn't enjoy it afterwards, but at least it's an experience that she has, and now she knows how to use it. A gun, which is really cool.
It's something that you get to check off, man. That's a piece. Ooh, that's another topic. That's a peace of mind that you get to have as a man. That, you know, maybe not even all men are thinking about, but just to be able to check that off mentally, it's like, okay, cool. She ever had to handle a gun? At least I know that she knows the basics of it.
Man. Yeah, I mean, not even like how to clean it. You don't have to take the whole 1911 apart,
right?
You know, and know where the spring goes and all that fucking shit. You just need to know, hey. Mm-hmm. This is how to accurately, you know, right. do some shit. Because if it comes down to it, you have to know some shit like that. And I think that's important too.
Yeah.
And obviously, we all grew up in the Midwest a little bit, mm-hmm. which are very much about those ideas.
Yeah.
At least a little bit still out here, which I align with.
Yeah. But. Yeah. For sure.
So why, it's important. Why do we lack so much leadership within men in the States? Because we see like the chaos that's transpiring right now in the
United
States.
Why are they trying to?
And I'm just curious, man, because you're pretty big on it. So like, where have you seen that kind of happen the most, to where you can kind of pinpoint the issues?
Oh man.
Or at least just briefly, or whatever.
I would dare the comfortability. I mean, I think if you guys have, if anyone that's ever seen that circle, what is it like? Strong man create easy times create weak men, yep. weak men. You know what I'm saying? That whole circle thing, that's pretty much where we're at right now. Weak men, we're going to create hard times.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happening, man. Things are so easy that there's really no necessary for real, true leadership. And I think in order to build your leadership, you have to face adversity, and there's not enough adversity, or people are so comfortable not facing adversity that they don't ever grow, they don't ever learn. And that's the one thing that I talk about, is embrace adversity, you know.
So just real quick, would you say that the military forced you to understand what adversity is? Because without military, would you have had adversity?
No, not the way that I've experienced it. Yeah, man, the military definitely put me on a whole nother level. You know, you're forced into leadership roles, man. Like, and you got to overcome that fear, because again, when you're training or when the shit hits the fan, you have to make a decision, dude. Critical thinking skills. You develop critical thinking skills in the military like nowhere else, man.
So, but like the adversity that you face in the military, if it doesn't come anywhere close to the adversity that you could deal with in the United States, how do we prepare men in that fashion? If some of, like, I've never been in the military, I know Jesse hasn't. So where does that adversity come from for everyday Americans? I know there's financial struggle. I know that there's obstacles that people have to come around, but you have that comfortability. You talk about the easy lifestyle and how they pushed us into not poking the bear too much, you know, with the comfortability factor. How do we get adversity into young men's lives to where they become men quicker in the United States?
Okay, absolutely, dude. I would say write down three things that scare you. You know, I tell my guys, man, one thing that I did is I would see elderly people sitting at a restaurant, man. If I saw an old man sitting by himself, like, it was kind of uncomfortable. But because that made me uncomfortable, I was like, I'm going to face this. And I put myself in their shoes from their perspective. And I'm like, I would like for a young man to join me. And so that's what I started doing. Whenever I felt uncomfortable, I decided to do it, man. You know, again, martial arts. If you're scared to get hit, you're scared to get into a fight, go join a boxing gym, dude. Whatever you don't know that you feel as though a man should know, go and do it, man. Or at least do some research on it, and you'll start gaining confidence. You know, so that's what I would say. Write down three things that, you know, scare you. If you're scared of jumping out of an airplane, go jump out of a damn airplane, you know, start building that confidence up. So yeah.
I love that idea of just going, feeling comfortable.
Yeah.
Because so many people just want to feel comfortable. Cause right. That's what everything that goes against everything internally that we have. Right.
Right.
Is just be comfortable. Just become, hey, don't antagonize this. Mm-hmm. Hey, no. Don't get uncomfortable with it. Get uncomfortable with it.
Right.
And that's where development fucking happens, man.
Right, dude.
And we lose, man, this sounds so basic, but we lose track of this. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in an uncomfortable scenario. It tests you as a man or as a person or even as a female too. This goes with everybody. Go and be tested. And if you fail, guess what? You're going to wake up tomorrow, right? don't put yourself in a scenario where you might not wake up tomorrow. Right, probably there's, right, you know, right. But if you're going to wake up tomorrow, you get to learn and move on from it.
Right. But I think that's the hardest thing though for people. It's easy to say that, but it's actually harder.
It's so fucking hard to do.
But for you, you have the personality where you were like, no, I'm going to overcome my fears. I'm actually going to do these things. For a lot of people, that's not the case. You know, it takes a lot more in them to be able to do those things. You know,
start off small, man. Start off small. Like I said, man, when I was younger, dude, at Applebee's, bro. At Applebee's, that was one of the first times I remember doing it. I saw this older gentleman sitting there, and I was like, man, he looks lonely. I kind of want to talk to him, but, you know, I felt kind of uncomfortable, you know? I think like anyone would. And, you know, I said, F that, dude. And I walked up to him. I said, hey, sir, I noticed that you're sitting here alone. You know, I came up here alone myself. Would you like some company? I'd like to pick your brain, you know, with you being, you know, an older gentleman. Do you mind if I pick your brain for some, you know, some wisdom or whatever? And he's like, oh, absolutely, young man. Come on, join me. And, dude, it was like, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, right? And that's literally everything I've experienced in life. If it comes to martial arts, war, starting my own business, after you just take that first step, man, and you like you back yourself against the wall, you force yourself to move forward, bro. You realize, okay, that was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was. And after you've done that 4, 5, 6 times, you're like, okay, you're a completely different animal, bro. Completely different, because you realize like there's really nothing to be afraid of, man. There's really not, and that's how I live my life.
Yeah. So I guess my next question would be like, you have a pretty large social media presence, you know, and do you see that as I feel like we all see like social media as a problem within the United States, like with addiction to phones, people who, you know, every day of their life is social media. So how do you kind of like have that balance where you're on social media, but yet you're still able to have that leadership role and have the adversity? You know what I'm saying? Like how does that all balance together?
Okay. So check this out. I just brought up my Instagram right now. All right. I make it my main focus to put positive, optimistic things that I can learn from. And that's all I see. Here's my Instagram, Buffett Business. Scroll down, Dr. Squash stuff. Derek Whitehead, you know, he's talking about banks, so on and so forth. Jacob & Co. Here's a business. Better You Living, so on and so forth. So 90% of the stuff that's on the Trillionaire Life, literally 90% of the stuff that I see on social media, what I follow is business, self-betterment, martial arts, stuff like
so
that.
So you're saying there's a balance. If you're going to use social media, use it the correct way.
Absolutely, dude.
Okay.
Yeah, that's with anything, you know? That's with anything, yeah.
It's weird to see this, like, culmination of, like, physical work, financial work, and, like, spiritual work, right? And everybody has their own approach to all three of those things in some way. You know, but at some point they all kind of intertwine, like financial, physical, and like spiritual.
Absolutely.
Like, like I said, everybody's got the different approach to it, but it's very necessary, because if you're lacking in one, you're probably, you know, it's almost force coupled in a way kind of thing. You need that balance. And the people that are really successful have all three of those really well refined. And I don't know. I just find that interesting. No,
that's perfect. In a way. Yeah, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think that, like, when you talk about that, like, those are things that, like, now being 34 and I'm still young. I'm not, absolutely, you know, I'm like mid, I guess for
we're young.
I'm not
mid. We're all young here. Come on, man.
No, I know. But I mean, like,
dude, I'm still a fucking kid half we're the time because, dude, I'm still like, I'm still learning so much.
Like, well, I know. And that's like, And I guess, Blake, I'm curious, like, how much did you really learn in your early 20s? Because, man, you were deployed you deployed, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I went to Bagram.
And
stationed at Camp Bowl.
So my question is, like, whenever I had Dan on, and this was, like, months ago, man, and it hit, like, 28,000 views, so not too much. Mm-hmm. But, like, Dan had said, he's like, hey, he's like, you're not a real man until you have a family, kids, you know, and you understand what it is to be a man. And he's like, that's not going to happen until you're in your 30s. And a lot of guys would get on there and they'd comment and they'd be like, man, this is so trash. This is so garbage. He's like, I'm a real man because I went to the military.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I think people get confused on what it is that makes you a man. You had other guys commenting on there, oh, well, you know, I made my first $1 million by the time I was 25. I'm like, money doesn't make you a man.
No, not at all,
man.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, from a military perspective, like, can you kind of, like, squash that? Does, like, going into the military, understanding what leadership roles are, and just the whole scope of that, does that make you a man?
No, not at all. I mean, again, there's plenty of shitty leaders in the military, dude. And I've experienced it firsthand. And rest in peace to Sergeant First Class Brian Gustin. He was actually the poster child for Rangers. He was a Ranger instructor for 2 years. He's part of Special Operations. That was my first platoon sergeant, and he's like a father figure to me. So I got to experience the leadership of the poster child for the Rangers, which, if you don't know what the Rangers are, the Army Rangers are Special Operations Group. Comparative to, you know, the Navy SEALs, Force Recon, Marine Force Recon, so on and so forth, right? So getting to experience his leadership and then seeing other leadership in the military is completely different levels, man. I know a lot of young guys that are alcoholics, abusive, so on and so forth in the military. So just because you join the military does not mean that you're a great leader, first and foremost. So I'll hit that. Second, you have to want to be a good leader. You have to want to be a man, like a manly man. And I'm not saying, like, again, like I wanted to hit that toxic masculinity. You have to want to seek wisdom. That was one of my, I used to pray that, you know, Father, please give me wisdom. I want it to be a wise man. And you don't hear too many, I don't even know if I ever heard any other man say, I want to be a wise man, right? So that's something that I used to pray for. So then, and then I had to put the effort into what I believed a good man, a good leader was. So just because you have money doesn't mean you're a good leader. Just because you were in the military doesn't make you a good leader. It takes time, because you have to gain knowledge and you have to gain wisdom. And with that comes along trials and errors, right? And so I had to learn a lot. I had to sacrifice a lot. I had to mess up a lot in order to reach where I'm at now. And I'm still on the journey. So who I'm going to be at 40 is going to be exponentially better than who I am right now at 32, right? So, yeah, man, you have to want to be a good leader and then seek that path, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's huge what you said, is you know that where you're at right now is going to be way different, but you are convinced you're going to be a better version of yourself.
Right, exactly.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge that you realize there's humbleness in it. There's wisdom. I'm going to be different than where I am right now than 10 years from now, but that version of myself will know a lot more.
Right. Yeah.
And have a lot better aspect on everything that's going on.
100%.
And that's huge.
And I think that, like, within, like, the past 5 years, it's been really big on cancel culture on social media with, like, prominently, like, right-leaning figures or just people who are conspiracy theorists and stuff like that, which a lot of those conspiracies come out to be true, by the way, in my opinion, and the facts are there, but whatever. But, like, I think that was a big part of it. Like, you know, like, Alex Jones got so much grief, and I'm not trying to back him or anything like that, for the Sandy Hook incident, you know, that he had. Mm-hmm. But after years and years happened, like, he's grown into a different person. You know, he's got more knowledge, he's got more wisdom, he's a different guy. He's still spreading a different, you know, a better message than what he did in those times.
Right.
You know, and that's just kind of what's that?
Never mind.
But that's what I'm saying. No. Like, with cancel culture, that's what they're trying to get rid of. They're trying to get rid of people bettering themselves. Because we all make mistakes on our journey. What you're saying right now necessarily may not be true in 10 years, and you're going to say something completely different that with more wisdom back behind that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know why I bought the cancel culture piece into it. I'm sorry.
No, I hate the idea that, oh, man, because of what you said 10 years ago or 5 years ago on Twitter, now we're like, you can't say anything now and your opinion doesn't matter.
Right.
Because it doesn't align with how everybody sees the world.
Right.
No, it's how everything works. It's just shitty because we have the internet and everything you say is forever.
Right.
I just kind of saw that piece.
Yeah, yeah. Who I was 5 years ago is completely different than who I am now.
And the same way that I felt before the podcast even started, I talked about, man, what was the first year that we did the podcast? And I was like, man, looking back on that podcast, I cringed at it.
Yeah.
Catch me 15 years from now, and I'll be like, man, that Jesse didn't know shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how life works, though.
Yeah.
You can only deal through this version of yourself, like experiencing the world and having opinions and talking about things, about how things should be. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be, you know, right. like, oh, I can't say shit about things I have opinions on because I'm worried about how they'll feel about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, no, it's how I feel. And if you come to me realistically and have a conversation with me, because that's,
and most what, people, yeah, yeah. most
I'll
people
have a will. Conversation with anyone about anything.
Well, so like we're getting, I mean, we're over half the podcast and we can go sure. however long. You probably got to be up early in the morning.
Oh man, I we work outside, man. So this whole week, we're probably off this whole week.
Oh, it's supposed to snow and rain tomorrow. Yeah,
yeah man. So
okay. So this is going to be the interesting part. And this is what I'm excited to talk about is understanding women.
Yeah.
So we talked about that briefly at the very beginning of the podcast that this is going to be the second half. We got to hit it because for all the ladies out there, and it's mainly men who listen to the podcast, on all the statistics that I've looked up, it's mainly, you know, men 30 to 50 years old.
Oh, you mean the podcast where you've had only men on talking about subjects women haven't listened?
I've had multiple women on the podcast. My wife's been on the podcast. I mean, it's been overwhelmingly men.
What was that nurse's name? What was that nurse's name that we had on?
Jen? Yeah.
Yeah.
And YouTube took that down. YouTube took that down.
It took that one down.
Yeah, because it was about autism. We talked about with vaccines and autism is.
I got you.
Huh?
I remember that one.
Yeah,
I just remember that one. But
oh, you're talking about Neha, the psychotherapist.
No. I loved her. The Australian.
Yeah.
No. She was great.
She was awesome.
She was spot on.
Yeah, she was good.
She was spot on. She was very.
So that's what I'm saying. We have some lady followers.
But, yeah, yeah.
Baron, so.
But no, like women don't listen to us.
There are some.
There's some. Yeah, for sure. And I think next time I'll definitely, I would definitely love to bring her on, man. You guys would love her. You know, she keeps it real. She keeps it real. She knows like, yo, a lot of women do this or they don't do this. And like she'll call women out for their stuff. But she'll also teach me. You know, so that's something that why I really respect her, because even with her emotions, she still can be logical, and that's what kind of attracted me to her, you know. So yeah.
And you saw that from like the get-go?
Yeah. I mean, well, the first, you know, couple dates were, you know, just the fun loving ones, but then, you know, started to ask questions. You know, she asked me questions, I asked her questions. What are my goals? You know, a lot of things that I looked at was her social media. Like, what did she post on her social media? So, yes, ladies, what you post will affect you. Like, if you post some wild stuff out there, there's probably some guys that would have approached you that they won't after looking at your social media. And that's just being honest. You know, that was one of the things where I was like, okay, I'm going to take her serious, man, because she's reserved, you know. And, after that, you know, I just, how she talked, how she carried herself. She also showed me that she could save money. So she offered up that, you know, that information willingly. And that was kind of huge, again, you know, because being a business owner, no man wants to be taken advantage of, you know. So the fact that she was money conscious, was very, was a turn on for me.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
I mean, but that's a sense of security because man, she could be intellectual,
yeah,
she could be beautiful, mm-hmm. but then she just like, hey, I'm in $100,000 of debt.
Yeah, that's
be like,
rough.
Well, yeah, see you later.
Great point, bro.
See you later.
Yeah, great point.
Because we know how much it takes to make $100,000, and it's probably not worth however she looks. you know what I mean?
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
yeah.
No, there's all that you're making bad financial decisions equate a lot to just how you live your life.
Right, dude. Yeah.
You're not living your life.
You have like, self-control. Like, I mean, yeah. that's huge. Like you got self-control. You're thinking about the future. You know what I'm saying? So that's
humility. Humility comes within finances too.
Yeah.
Think that, oh, you're worth understand your worth. Like through all of this scope that we live in is also there too. But yeah.
But do you think like when like talking about like understanding women, and again we'll take it back down to when we were all in our 20s, like that's something that, you know, back in like the early 50s, like that's what you did. You got married at a young age, you had kids at a young age. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost curious if like in those times, like they understood each other more at a young age. Because now, like in the culture that we're in, it's a very party type of culture. It's very mm-hmm. sexualized. At a young age, you're, you know, like women are half naked. At 18, you know what I'm saying, on Snapchat, Instagram, all those things. So like that, it's just a different landscape for young men to enter. when that's all they're subjected to. And yeah, if they're also entertaining those types of things where, you know, we did, that's all we did was party in our 20s. Mm-hmm. I was never ready to understand what a woman was when I was in my early 20s.
Right.
And I had dated a few girls, and you know, at those times, like when I dated those girls, all I wanted to do was be with the boys because that was more fun to me in those times.
Absolutely.
But everything happens for a reason. And I'm married to the woman that I am now. And I have three beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. But even like when we first started dating, I still had those issues. You know what I'm saying? Like just with wanting to hang out with my boys, drink, do those types of things, play video games. So I guess what I'm saying is there was one, no leadership there for me because the culture doesn't really perpetuate that.
Right.
And two, I was never taught how to understand a woman. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of that comes from watching your mother and father grow up and how their relationship is within the marriage. And that's what you base, that's the only thing you really have to base your future relationships off of is what you see from your parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much what you see from your, but that, your parents, hold on. So,
but as a kid, that's what you see on how to treat a woman. You gotta
look at the time frame in which you're looking at it. Because, and this is why, if I was to talk to an 18-year-old kid and they really like a girl, right? He comes to me, he's like, man, I really like her. I'm like, well, let me, okay, what's she look like? Oh, okay. Oh, sure. Sure, you really like her. That's why you really like her. But what logistically long-term things are you going to really like her for? Mm-hmm. You know? What is she really going to show you? But they don't look at that, though. And she doesn't even have those, by the way. 18-year-old kid, both sides, male neither and female,
yeah.
They don't have it. None of them have it. None of them should be getting into long-term, shouldn't be having kids, shouldn't be thinking about any, this is just my opinion. You should not be thinking about anything long-term until like 25 plus, if not a little bit later in life. Because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I still honestly am a little bit lost in things in fucking life. Let alone you being 18, being so hard up and being like, oh man, I'm in love. This is what love is. Oh, really? Give it 2 years.
Right.
Let's see what love is in 2 years from now.
You do experience that.
I can almost promise that 18-year-old, it's going to be way different the way you feel about that fucking female.
For sure.
In like 2 years.
Yeah.
Why is that so consistently happening? So you need to have a little bit like, hey, calm the fuck down a little bit. Why don't you focus on you?
Yeah.
And then after you figured you out, then you can start looking about the attributes of the person that you want. And you can find that, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody can find that within the attributes of if you're male or female, right. And you can find that fucking person. But you got to put in time for you first. Mm-hmm. That is the absolute first step. Not this infatuation of some in the moment thing, because we're all into our 30s. I say that like we're just 30. We're just 30. We know right now that all is bullshit.
Yeah.
That bullshit infatuation is fleeting.
So let me
it will leave the moment it comes in comparison to like looking back on it, right?
Yeah.
Be like, "Oh man," and then that was it.
That's what I'm going to say these two things. So there's a saying that says women have to preserve their men have to build their value. There it is. Women have to preserve their value and men have to build their value.
Absolutely.
Right.
100% agree with that.
So there's that. So ladies understand that men have to build their value. So that means that they're probably not going to really be valuable until their late 20s when they finally start figuring things out. And your objective to make you a more valuable woman is to preserve it. Do not be out here on a 304 shit, right? So that's the first thing. And second thing I would say is mentorship. That was key for me, man. That was key for all of my really great friends who are doing really well in life. Mentorship, man. And whatever it is you're trying to build upon. So I have mentors or people that I talk to or follow, whatever, listen to, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to finances, when it comes to business, when it comes to working out. Literally, there are experts on everything. And in every realm of your life, you can find
internet's
someone.
Internet's a great thing, right? Hey, yeah. Internet's a great fucking
certain,
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Certain aspects.
Man, you can start out absolutely. And be like, oh man, I don't have to have somebody directly talking to me. There is a fucking channel for it on fucking YouTube. Yeah, I hate this excuse shit. Oh, I don't know how to do my... There's a fucking YouTube fucking channel for it.
But
there's no fucking excuses for it. It's all out there right there in front of your fucking face.
I know.
I hate that shit, but no excuses anymore. No excuses. Dude, I can change oil in a fucking 87 whatever car you bring to me. Oh, it's probably a fucking YouTube channel for it. I could step-by-step fucking do that shit.
Oh, yeah.
No excuses.
For sure.
There's no excuses.
There is that, but the only thing I'll say to that is, and this is specifically when you're talking about like what we're... I mean, yes, Jesse, an oil change, yes. Go on YouTube and find it. All those mechanical types of things.
But you want to better yourself. Dude, that's all there.
No,
it's
all there. I'm just saying adversity like in struggle that people go through in life. And when you look those things up on YouTube, everyone has different experiences.
Sure.
And it happens in different ways. So you necessarily can't... You can't follow that in necessarily all the way. And like having Eric Dubé on, man, like it was like a month ago. And we didn't really even talk Flat Earth. He was a very... It was just amazing that the philosophy that he had with, I forget how he brought it up. It was like I forget the terminology he used. But then we just go even deeper and he's just like, hey man, he's like, the problem with people today when they face challenges within themselves is they try and forget about it or they don't want to talk about it, you know, or self-reflect on those things. They just want to move on. But what he had said was he's like, you have to go through that process.
Sure.
That's right.
You have to go through it. You have to think about it no matter how bad it is.
You have to deal with yourself.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you have to fucking deal with yourself.
And that's what I'm saying. So
sometimes that's the hardest part of the day.
That's what I'm saying.
Is reflecting on how I interacted with everybody else and even interacted with myself was me.
That's what I'm saying. You can't necessarily go to a YouTube channel and find information out on that or an expert. You have to deal with it yourself.
Bro, yes, there are mentors. Alan Watts fucking talks about that fucking shit. Trust me, there's philosophers out there that talk about that shit. You can find people that talk about that.
Sure.
And that's
it's out there. So yeah, absolutely.
It's whether or not you apply it. I'm sorry. It's whether or not you start to apply it.
Right.
That's what it boils down to.
You
can get the framework from that stuff, and that's at least a good step. And I agree with you to that extent. Absolutely, bro.
And a lot of people haven't been gifted the struggle enough to all of a sudden be like, really look back on their life. You know what I mean? Maybe you were just too coddled enough to maybe not realize your potential as to where, man, if something would have really fucking hit you, then you would have been great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, dude. Hey, you know what? And that's why I'm out here doing what I'm doing, because it took one sentence to completely elevate me with my boxing skills. And that's how I know how important words are and speaking on them, man. My boxing coach, shout out to Coach Melvin Wesley at Pound for Pound. What he said was, pick your shots. For so many years, I wanted to be like Tyson. I wanted to box like Tyson. I trained like Tyson, so on and so forth. But then when Coach Melvin, after years, he finally was like, man, just pick your shots, dude. And that one sentence completely elevated my boxing skills, man. I boxed completely different after that day. And so that's what I understand. You know, just even with having this conversation, someone could be listening to this and be like, man, you know, I know about mentorship, but where would I go to find a mentor or whatever the case is, man? And all it is just starting, dude. Just starting on the train again. Like, you know, we're talking about Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, man. Just start there. Start looking up YouTube channels. Start looking up whatever it is kind of man that you want to be. It's like a rabbit hole. That's really what my life was like, a rabbit hole. I started learning about, like you know, clinical psychology with Dr. Peterson. Started learning about spirituality. Started learning about finances. And it just, like, it all connects, dude. Just like negativity feeds negativity, positivity feeds positivity, man.
But positivity is harder. Like, you have to work for it.
And it can get messed up a lot easier. That's why you have to be on your shit at all times, man.
But you can't be on your shit at all times. Because male to male, there's no way. It's impossible. But you can be like, hey, I'm going to be on my shit at all times. Yeah. And life's going to be like, well, here's this.
You know what? Yes, that's the challenge. That's the challenge.
And
but
guess what? This is the worst it's going to be for you. And then you're like, well, fuck. Now what do I do with this?
Yeah.
But that's how life is.
But this is the difference. And when you start to mature, it's like, no more clubbing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm taking myself out of shitty positions, or like, I want to go out and have fun. You have sex with some random ass chick, and then now you're worried and you're tripping because do I have an STD or STI? Did I get her pregnant? You know, blah, blah, blah. Is she crazy? So start focusing on yourself. And when you stay away from things that could, the probabilities stack up against you of making things harder for you. If you can learn how to start developing yourself out of that and maturing out of that, then it becomes a lot easier. My life is a whole, even though it's harder in certain aspects, it's a whole hell of a lot easier in other.
You just brought up a massive issue that's literally like nationwide, is everybody, and it's social media fucking driven and everything, is people are way too, like, not just one relationship dedicated to one fucking person. That shit's almost done for social media wise. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, absolutely, man. I think that it's very important to, you know, I know what a lot of these guys like do, like, you know, we were talking about Tate Andrews earlier, man. I know a lot of these guys that talk about become the man and you can get all these women, you know, you can do whatever you want, so on and so forth. It is, dude. And that's
empty as fuck.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I would challenge. Like, I watch Fresh and Fit, which I'm sure some of you guys have ever, you know, Myron. You know, I think when they talk about high value men, you know, you can pick and choose, so on and so forth. And that's probably really the one and only situation that I would disagree with them with. The hardest thing for a man, especially if you're a high value man and or you have money, you have, you know, the network, you have all this stuff, the hardest thing to do is to remain faithful to a chick. And that's 100%. Exactly why 100%. The fuck I want to do it, because I like adversity.
100%. 100 fucking percent.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard, yeah.
So. Because so many times, whenever you got your shit together as a male, and you're hitting the gym, you're working hard, you're faithful with your family, guess what's going to pop up?
Adversity.
Adversity is going to pop up.
Yeah.
And you have to decide. And man, once again, this comes down to the difference between male and female. It's easy female. It's easy for a female. Mm-hmm. It's you got to be on your shit as a guy to be getting that kind of recognition, right? You see that all the time. And then whenever that's adversity.
Yeah.
And
yeah, for sure, man. You know, I actually just made a little Snapchat about this not too long ago, man. And, you know, just telling people, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. Just being honest with people, man.
Nobody's honest anymore. If you're honest,
dude, I was honest as shit, dude, man.
Nobody's fucking honest anymore.
I
was honest,
man. I told him, like, hey, look, this is what's going on, man. I'm at the gym right now. And this is what I'm going through as a man. Like, there are a lot of attractive women here. And so I can't deny that, you know? And, you know, I've had these serious conversations with my woman that you can't have with every woman, you know? But
does it almost make you question other, because you've been multicultural, mm-hmm, and you've seen their escape of how they approach things. Does it almost make you like be like, oh, wow, they actually had some right ideas here? With how they approach like limiting things, because
for sure, dude,
the females in America,
dude, yeah,
like, fuck, they're completely different. They just do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Yeah, it's completely completely different. Yeah,
They're just fucking testing fucking everybody.
But the problem is they don't understand the benefits of not doing that shit. A lot of them think like, oh, it's empowerment, and it's in many ways, no, it's actually destroying.
Trust me, there's country. Plenty of females out there that aren't doing that, but it's the ones that are out there doing the things that they do that are, you know, having a negative effect.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that just shines a little brighter. Yeah. You know, like the negative, you know, brought to light, and because there's no shame. There's no fucking shame in America, far as there's no consequences for what I should do because I'm just me and you should just accept me as me. And I'll be like, well, your kid's got to live with you.
Right.
You know,
there's consequences, dude. Yeah.
Your son's got to grow up with you.
Yeah.
And his friends got to see what you did.
Right.
So where, how do you view yourself viewing, you know, in all the shit, man, I've heard too many bad things And that's rough, man. Kids are fucking rough. You can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that just comes down to being like a sexualized society, all of those types of things. There's a lot of moving parts that go into it.
Right.
Just even marriage in general, just like how we're not taught on what marriage is and what it's meant to be. And just, dude, it all stockpiles on each other.
You want to be valued as a woman equally. Well, but you have an OnlyFans, right? You got an OF. And I should be viewed as equally as every other female. Not anymore. Not anymore. You got into sex work. Well, now I view you based upon what you do career-wise, and you chose that route. Mm-hmm. Should I have the same respect for you, or as Amelia Earhart, that just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, for sure. If you can't say, if you can't respect yourself, then how do you expect other people to respect you?
That's an easy fucking route that you fucking took. You don't deserve the fucking same quality as women who fucking worked hard in this fucking nation without taking the fucking easy route out. I don't know. That might fucking sound bad. You can cancel me. I don't have a fucking Facebook. You can't even email me.
Well, bro, that's the thing, man. I think it's like, you know, like that whole like misogynistic thing, man. You know, like a lot of people try and talk about, you know, that's not the case at all, man. I think what a lot of guys, like what we're talking about right now, I see a lot of other podcast guys, you know, talking about is like, man, we're just really being honest. That's what it boils down to. There are consequences, and there's a lot of your lady friends are lying to you or allowing you to live in this delusion, and it's going to affect you in the future. And that's what a lot of, you know, and it's not about, you know, we're hating on women. It's the exact opposite. We're saying, hey, if you don't change your ways, you're going to really suffer. And so that's something, you know, that I've talked to a lot of my fiancés. Girlfriends about, man, and just because they admire what I have to say, you know, and it's not always what you say, but sometimes how you say it. And so that's the thing that I've been really working on when it's talking to ladies, man.
I am a dad, but I'm not a dad of a daughter, so I don't know what that's like, but I can project a little bit of my idea of what it would be like if she told me that she was going to try to do some sex work. And I know, which is what OnlyFans is. I hate this fucking watered down idea that it's not fucking you're in the sex industry.
Yeah.
And I would not be okay with it.
Right.
I'd be like, no, I wouldn't be okay with it.
You shouldn't be. Yeah. Everything rises you're and better. Falls on
no,
leadership.
No, because my daughter will be better than that.
Yeah, that's
not,
right.
Not should be. No, yeah. You will be better than fucking. No, you grew up better than this. What the fuck is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. Yeah.
I mean, but everyone has different views too. I mean, I don't disagree with you,
man,
but
man, if you even look at the clinical psychology of the whole thing, these are not well off mentally individuals that are going off these roads. If you could better society through what you put, like the value you bring to society is your fucking spread ass cheeks and shit, like if that's where you're making your fucking money, that's not.
How many times have you
laughed at that fucking shit because it's fucking laughable?
And Jesse, how many times have you enjoyed that type of thing?
And I'm a fucking male, and you're right, I'm on the other side of that too. But it's a rough fucking scenario because we do that. We view daughters like that, and then that's where they are. But then if we had a daughter, never. Like, fucking never,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it would crush.
That's rough.
It would crush, dude. Yeah.
It's a weird fucking society we live in because, it is. And you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm glad that you brought that up because it's, man, that's bad on the other side too, that we fuel it.
Yeah, you know? For sure, yeah. That's why I just got through saying, yeah, dude, everything rises and falls on leadership, man. And that's why, you know, I'll talk to the ladies, but I definitely hold men fucking accountable, dude. I really do. Regardless to what's going on, we're always going to bear the weight, dude. We're always going to bear the weight. And so if we start becoming better as men, more disciplined as men, then our women will start becoming better. I really believe that, man. So, yeah.
I'm 100% on board with that, man.
No, yeah. I am too, because it is, because that's the fucking truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts with us.
Yeah.
And it ends with us.
Yeah.
Rock on, we're a little bit over the hour, man. We'll probably just do a little bit more, and then you know what I'm saying. But I'm just kind of curious, man. We'll just do some lighthearted stuff towards the end here. And I'm just kind of curious. You were deployed in Afghanistan?
Yeah, correct.
In Iraq?
No, Afghanistan.
Just Afghanistan.
Bagram.
Mm-hmm. How long were you there for?
I was there for 6 months.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
So were you just strictly on the base, or did you patrol?
So,
or?
Yeah, no. So I actually, the only reason why I ended up only being there for 6 months, dude, is because I kept getting bacterial infections in my eyes. Really bad, man. It happened like on the fifth or sixth time. They're like, dude, fuck it, bro. Just go back home. Just get back home. So yeah.
But did you patrol at all when you were there, or were you just in the
base? Yeah, yeah. It wasn't bad. We patrolled just around the base, basically. Wasn't too far out, man. Iraq. The beginning of Iraq was when it was really bad. The beginning of OIF and then OEF was when it was really bad. But I was there more towards the endish. And so it wasn't too much to fucking do. Usually, like, it was cool seeing, like, the SEALs were bringing guys in. Fucking, you'd see them 4 o'clock in the morning, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, with bags over guys' faces and shit. So, yeah, dude, Camp Alpha.
Are you allowed to say that?
I hope so. I hope so.
I might have to scrub that one out.
You might, yeah, take Alpha out. But, yeah, man, being there. Yeah, dude, seeing some of that shit, dude, it was really cool, you know, training with, different special operations there, training with, different foreign agencies there. And that was very cool, man. I got to experience a lot of cool shit, dude. Even the locals, man, the locals were actually really cool. You know, of course, a lot of them are farmers. And
so like a military force is in there with a bunch of heavy military like firearms and shit, and they were cool with you?
Not theirs.
I'm just saying there's a little bit of
so there's a lot of there's
yeah,
a lot
they're probably
of
gonna be okay with you. Like if you were occupied,
there's a lot of contractors there, dude. Like there's a lot of contractors there, there's a lot of fucking
not to talk shit on that, but I'm also like, oh yeah, I'd be cool too if I was just a farmer, no firepower whatsoever, and you had like the US yeah. military come in. I'd be like, Hey, yeah. I like you guys. You know, it'd be like trying to be chill with you, you know? Just trying to be chill. Yeah. And probably that'd be the general vibe.
Yeah.
What I'd be trying to give off there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I don't know if you've looked into our podcast, Baron, but we've done a lot of like, you know, we're not like too pro military, like invading other countries, like
no, dude, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so
no. I'm not, dude. I'll be honest, man. I think it's really fucked up when it happens. I think war is a terrible fucking thing. I know where my heart's at. I'll do what I'll have to do, but I know before there's guys out there that just are some sick fucks in the military, bro. Plain and simple. But I know that I wasn't one of them. I really wanted to help in some way, shape, or form and make a difference. So it's not all about like firepower and you know, killing and all that. One of the mottos was, you know, when the locals over, win the hearts and the minds of the people. And so, a lot of that, you know, a lot of the reason why we got into war was due to dictatorship, you know, the oil thing, that's, you know, part of it too. But there's a lot of dictatorship and a lot of terrorist groups and organizations there that were fucking people up too, that people don't know about. You know, it still happens over in Africa, like, you know. So there are a lot of good soldiers that went over there and did a lot of good things and really did their best to help in some way, shape, or form, bro. So, and
good intentions.
Absolutely. Man, so I was one of them.
Man, that's with everything. Because I'll tell you, like, the top five favorite people in my life are Christians. Mm. Also, I can tell you some complete terrible people are also under the same banner.
Absolutely.
Claiming Christianity.
And
so that doesn't claiming one thing doesn't necessarily make you. So I completely understand that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's everything, man. Terrible cops, great cops. Terrible doctors,
right?
Great doctors.
It's weird. And I hate that. Like, you're whatever. So you're a piece of no, that's not how that works.
Right.
It's up to each individual that defines you. And the second that you can claim, oh, but I claim this, so I'm exempt from all the fucking atrocities that I've done in my life, because look at the banner that I wave above me. No, you just corrupted in the end. But that's,
I feel you, bro.
Well, come in. Well, we usually like to do just a little over an hour. I don't like to do any more than that because we lose people's attention. And we pretty good podcast, man. So I want people to listen to it in full and just hear what it is, the knowledge that you have to say. And same with Jesse. You were spitting some hot fire, man. So, Baron, where can people find you, man? Like, social media. I'll put all the links down below in the description and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
perfect, man. Absolutely. Yeah, Facebook. Yeah. Baron Saint on Facebook. Baron Saint on Snapchat. Follow _Baron Saint on IG. Man, if you live in the Kansas City area, hit me up. I have no problem meeting up with you, you know, go out to lunch, you know, hit the park, talk. I'm a very open book, especially right now. Like I was telling you guys, I own a construction company, so we work outside. So I've got a lot of time on my hand right now, man. So yeah, anyone that needs, you know, somebody, I'll be that somebody.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
Rock on.
Yeah, nice.
Well, I appreciate you having on. I appreciate having you on. It was fun. Hopefully we can do it again sometime. I feel like there was a lot of conversation left on the table that we can continue to have and just keep going on and talking about. But
yeah. I can do this for hours.
Hell yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah, it's fun.
I love life, dude. I love life. I love learning. I love talking, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jess is fun.
I'll have to have you on sometime, man, if I bring Howdy on sometime, man, because you'd really enjoy having him and you'd have some good questions for him.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
So tell me a little bit more about him.
Yeah, there's podcasts you can check out. I'll send you links on Facebook.
Okay, yeah.
And you can just listen to the ones that I've done with him. He's done multiple interviews online, so.
Okay, cool, yeah.
This format for, this is your first podcast or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. This format gets addicting.
Oh, yeah,
like,
for sure.
Bro.
Like, tell. This is fun.
It's fun. Yeah. This format's fun.
Yeah.
There's really no structure behind it. We just kind of freeball it, man. And that's what life is. I mean, life isn't freeballing. You have to... What we've talked about, leadership and those types of things, if you add that to the podcast, that obviously adds value. But what I've learned throughout this process is everyone has their own knowledge and everyone has their own different knowledge to spread. Mm-hmm. And that's the funnest part for me.
But what's great about it, it's not just some bullshit conversation, you know, like at a bar, you know, wherever. This is like you're in front of a mic kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like that's, I don't know. It's
For sure.
This format's fun.
Yeah.
If you know, your first... go through.
Agreed.
It.
Like yeah,
it's
yeah.
fun.
Next time, if I'm invited back, man, I'm definitely I'm gonna bring some work, side at work, some books, some links, whatever. I'm gonna come a little bit better prepared with.
You've been holding the pen. Man. You've been holding the pen in a piece of paper, man. You haven't written anything.
You haven't written shit.
Man, you got your own knowledge though.
Hey, this is fast pace, man. Yeah, you know, you just gotta think off the top of the dome, man. So it's cool.
Fun part about it.
Yeah.
For me, because it makes you. It's like the things that are constant in your head that you think about, those are the things that come out.
All right.
It's like the main core shit.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even talk that much tonight.
How to do a podcast with Talk Junkies this evening. The tutorial.
Yeah.
Rock on, man. Well, the best thing that you guys can do, obviously, follow Baron, man. He just gave you all the links. All the links will be down below for all y'all to check him out. Again, I follow him on Facebook. He's got a lot of good words of wisdom to say. He's preached some of those words tonight, but he does it. An even better job on social media because he's able to sit down, think, put it onto paper, and then explain it in a way that just is fascinating to me. I definitely suggest you guys go follow him and check him out. Best thing you could do for Talk Junkies is hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, stay fly.
And ring the bell.
Oh, God, it's been a while.
It's been a while.